Let's just pray before we open the word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. And Father, I pray, Lord, let every heart, Lord, let all our hearts, Lord, just receive from your word. Lord, I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you've got a Bible today, you probably might need it. We're talking about our theme for the year is Kingdom Reign. And we've been talking that and progressing along on that. And this morning I want to talk about seeking the kingdom of God. We know our main scripture for the year, Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. And so that's our main scripture that we're looking at across the year. But I want to focus on one scripture that many of us will know very well. In Matthew 6:33, many of you would actually quote this and know it off by heart. It says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek ye first, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. About seeking the kingdom first. And some of us think that, well, yep, okay, I gave my heart to Christ, I became a Christian, so tick, yep, first one done. Seek ye first, gave my life to Christ. I became a Christian, tick the first one off. And his righteousness, well, I can't be righteous within myself. Righteousness is given to me freely by Christ on the cross. I was made righteous, so we can go tick on that one, and then we say, well, I got the first two there, so Lord, give me all these things. Lord, you know, why am I not getting all these things? Lord, I became a Christian, tick, and you made me righteous, tick, so Lord, give me all the stuff. Why is it not always working in my life? Well, I want to talk about what it really means to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We want to read the context of this scripture, and then I really want to focus on the things about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. There's an and in there, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Because quite often we always want all the stuff, Lord, we want all the blessings, we want all the things. Sometimes you might look and say, it's not working. Well, maybe it's because it's more than tick, tick, and maybe there's a little more. So let's have a look at this, Matthew 6, reading from verse 25 down. The context of this passage, by the way, is with Jesus. This is on the Sermon of the Mount. And he's not talking to the multitudes here. He's talking to his disciples. The crowds were there. He'd been with the crowds. He got them. He went up the top of the hill. He sat down, which is when the rabbi, when the teacher, when the leader, when Christ, when he sits down and starts talking, you shut up and you listen when Jesus is talking. And so they knew that this was pretty serious what Jesus was saying. In fact, he was actually giving like his outline for the kingdom or his manifesto for the kingdom that he was laying down to him. And so the disciples knew that Jesus is about to say something pretty profound throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to read the whole thing. It goes for a couple of chapters. We're just reading one little part. But they sat down and they knew that this was very important what he was saying. Now the crowds were also there in the distance, and I'm sure Jesus' voice would have carried across and the crowds would have also heard these words. But he was focusing this on his disciples. He was directing this to his disciples, not to the multitudes. But Matthew 6:25 says this. And remember the context of this, it's talking about not worrying. And so I'm not really talking about worrying or not worrying. But don't worry, and I trust that you won't after we read through this. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Well, that's a good thing, because a lot of people are so worried about their life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body with what you will wear. Is not the life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Or the other word there is, could be add a cubit. Can you grow a foot by worrying? Some of us should be about 50 feet tall for all the worry. It says you can't add to anything by worrying. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Ladies, did you hear that one? What am I going to wear? Do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But it talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus is saying, don't worry. Now, he's not just giving a command, don't worry. He's saying, you don't need to worry. There's no reason to worry. And if we have an understanding of the kingdom of God, then you find that you won't be worried. You won't be worried about problems and things and concerns, because you're going to, hang on, I'm a part of an eternal kingdom and I'm under the King of Kings. It would change the whole way that we think. But I want to talk about seeking first the kingdom of God. When it talks about seeking, it's an active word here. When it talks about seeking, it actually involves something. You cannot passively seek the kingdom of God. It actually involves the engagement of your whole self, of your body, your mind, your spirit. It's to be actively involved in seeking first the kingdom of God. And it doesn't stop when you gave your heart to Christ. Well, as I said, I ticked that one, I gave my heart to Christ. It's far more than that. It's to be actively engaged with the things of God's kingdom. But it says to seek the kingdom of God first. If I put a show of hands and say, how many of you are seeking the kingdom of God first in life? Don't put up your hand, but I'm sure you'd all put up your hand and say, yes, I'm seeking the Lord first in all my things. And then if I was to say, keep your hand up if you go to prayer meetings, then some of you, oh, yeah, okay. And then if I were to ask a few other questions, maybe we'd put our hands down at that sense about putting God first in all our life. It's more than coming to church, and well, some people don't even do that, but it's far more than even just coming to church. That's an important part of growing in God, is to do that. But that's not the fulfillment either. That doesn't tick that box either, just to be coming along to church. It's important. Obviously, it's a part of that, and it's a part of our life, but it doesn't tick the box in itself. It's about having God first, preeminent in our life, and every thought, every action, every deed, everything is focused on the kingdom of God. And we've got to really look at our lives and say, well, God, am I really focused firstly, preeminently, with priority on the things of the kingdom of God in our lives? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It talks about a whole lot of other stuff that people who aren't believers worry about. They're worried about their mortgage stress. Financial stress is the biggest cause of marital breakdown. It's not infidelity. It's not whatever those things which, you know, cause huge damage. But it's financial stress is the number one killer of marriages. It's a major problem, and people's lives get destroyed because they get obsessed with finances and having stuff and needing things and all of those things. And he's saying, don't fall for that trap. Don't be so worried chasing after money. And you find that if you are, then you're not going to be ticking any boxes off at this stage. It talks about seeking him first, not being distracted by things. Matthew 13, 44 and 45 puts it this way, talking about the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, 44, 45. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and he bought that field. Just imagine, you know, you're just walking through a housing development, wondering whether you maybe might buy a house, a block of land or something or whatever, and you're walking along and you see this really shiny thing there. You think, what's that? And you just scuff a little bit and there's a massive lump of gold there. And maybe it goes all the way down. Well, you'd be quickly scuffed, you know, just look at the tricks, look at the birds. Well, you hide it over again. Then you'd be going straight to the sales office and say, yeah, I want that block. I want that one. Because deep in there, there could be this mother load that goes all the way. It could be worth an absolute fortune. And so you do that. It suddenly becomes the focus. It becomes the priority of this great treasure hidden in the field. When he found it, he hid it again. And in his joy, he went and sold all that he had. Everything else became secondary, all his other possessions, because he knew there was something of far more immeasurably value here than anything else in his life, than anything else that he had. Something of incredible value that was there. And it goes on, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. He wanted something of beauty, something of substance, something rare, something wonderful. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And that's really the principles of the kingdom of God when he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Nothing else matters more importantly than the things of the kingdom of God. And certainly nothing matters more than the King of Kings. And so this is really what Jesus is saying here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, because it's the nature of the kingdom of God. It is the most precious thing. It is the most valuable thing. Our relationship with God is the most precious thing, most important things in our lives. Putting God first and the things of God, putting them first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He talks about that priority of that. We know the story of Mary and Martha, and we won't go through the whole story. I think we all know that, probably heard it 100 times. But Jesus did. He said to Martha, is all upset because she's cooking the veggies and the turkey. She's got it all going. Mary, his sister's there, just sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha's abusers, Mary tells her off and then tells Jesus off and says, what do you think you're doing, Jesus? You're not telling her to help me. Get her to help me. And Jesus says, wait a minute. He says, Mary here, she has chosen the most important way, the first way. She's put what is first. And sometimes we get distracted doing all this other stuff that we think we might should be doing, and we forget the one that we're doing it for. We forget him. We forget the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so putting him first in our life. And Luke 18 is another area. I'm going quickly on this part because I don't really want to focus so much on this bit, putting it first. I want to talk about the kingdom and his righteousness. But it has to be first. It has to be first. Luke 18, 29 to 30 says, truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home, a wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive as many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Now, talking about putting everything else aside. Now, some people become missionaries. They say goodbye. And I know young women on the mission field that will never get married. They've made that decision. No, look, I'm going to serve God with my whole life. And if it means that I never get married, if I never come across someone, then so be it, because I'm dedicating my life to his service. And there are women out there, and even young men, that are serving on the mission field. I'm not talking about women that are 90 who go out to become missionaries, not looking to get married again. These are young ones that are going out and say, no, well, if that happens, it happens. But I'm seeking God first. I'm going to serve him with my life. And now that's the sort of heart for us. Now, God certainly doesn't want us to neglect our families. They're very, very important. God cares about our families, and it's so important that we do that. Remember, Jesus told the Pharisees off because saying they had this thing called Korban where they said that, look, I don't have to help my family because I'm serving God. And Jesus said, guys, for the sake of your tradition, you're dishonoring God. What about honoring your father and mother? What about loving your family? What about serving him? So that is very important. We need to do that. But in comparison of what takes our attention and our affection and our time, our effort, our energy, the kingdom of God, and particularly the King himself, has to take our preeminence in our life. So this whole passage is really talking about not having other things, having other stuff that take preeminence in our life. Because some of us look back and say, well, Lord, we're all the stuff, we're all the things. But in all honesty, if we look at ourselves, perhaps he's not really preeminent. Maybe worry is taken over. Maybe we're so worried about what we don't have and so worried and anxious and stressed about all of that stuff that we find that our worry actually is truly number one in our life, because it's taken over our focus. It's taken our attention. It's the thing that consumes us, our worry and anxiety and maybe the sense of what we don't have and maybe the sense of what we're missing out on and are lacking in our lives. And that becomes so much bigger, so much bigger. And if that becomes bigger, then Christ is not really first in our life. The King isn't really first in our life. And we can do that. That's why Jesus is saying, guys, don't worry in your life. Don't allow that to take over your life. But he's not just giving a command. He actually tells us how to do that, how to live our life and to seek the kingdom of God. But having him first is number one. That he is the number one focus in our life. The first thought, our attention, our affection, our desire is set upon him and his kingdom. Not secondary, not an afterthought, not an end of the week thing, I'll go to church. Not that. And it's more than just coming to church. It's far more than that. It's how you think. It's how you feel. It's what energizes you and what motivates you. It's why you live. It's the purpose is for the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom. Seeking ye first the kingdom, because We've already said what the kingdom of God is, that the kingdom of God is not, it's not out there somewhere. You can go visit the kingdom of God somewhere. And it's just not out there somewhere, this nebulous concept of this kingdom thing. Remember, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is near you and the kingdom of God is actually within you. And remember, the kingdom of God is where the king is. So if the king is there, that is where the kingdom is. He made it very clear. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. And the kingdom of God is within you. So where you are, you begin to walk and you begin to manifest the kingdom of God as we seek him first and then begin to understand more about this kingdom and the authority that he's given us. So where we go, we start to bring the kingdom of God because the king is within us, he's near us, and within us, the very king himself. And so seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, how do I seek the kingdom of God? Now, some of us think that seeking the kingdom of God is to do a whole lot of kingdom-related things, kingdom-related activities. I'll busy myself in doing things of the kingdom. Now, that certainly is a part of it. It certainly is a part of it. Coming to church, yeah, that's very important. It is probably a part of that. Serving in the kingdom, that's a part of that. Loving God with all your heart is certainly a large part of that. But if the kingdom of God is within us, and God is, says that the kingdom of God is with you, you can't say, here it is, there it is. If the kingdom of God is within you, then how do I have to seek something or desire or set my affection or certainly put all my attention on something that is within my life already? Is this like I'm trying to find something that I don't have? No, this is something that we have in Christ. We've apprehended, once you apprehend Christ and what he's done, and once you've been born again, and then you get filled with the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit upon you, you've got the deal. You've got it all. It's all been given to us. And as a Christian, it's not a work of, Lord, just give me more, give me more, give me more. It's more a work of, be more of who you are. Be more of, work more in the authority that I've given you and the power that I've given you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead that's resonant within you. That's really what it is. The Christian walk is more a journey of discovery of what Christ has already given us, what he's already accomplished on the cross. It's not trying to get a little bit extra, a little bit more. It's more understanding of what he's given us, more of a realization of what he has done for us. And so the kingdom of God is already within me, and yet I have to seek it, which means I have to put my attention to it. I have to put my affection to it. I have to put some effort into it. Now, if I've already got something, now that's where we people fall into legalism, because they think that I have to put effort into doing kingdom things, and then somehow by putting effort into kingdom things, somehow I'm going to become more righteous, more acceptable, more worthy, more loved of God. But for me to seek the kingdom, it's not about that. It's about actually putting my mindset, having my affection, my attention on the very fact that the kingdom of God is actually within me, that he has actually placed the kingdom of God within me. And we know that word, the word again, basileia, which is what the kingdom is. When it's talking about the kingdom, it says seek the kingdom. It's talking about dominion and kingdom authority. It's the authority that a king has to rule. And that's not something that we're trying to get that. It's something that we've actually already been given as Christians. Problem for us is that we're caught up with worrying. We're caught up with being distracted about this thing and that thing and that thing. And worries of life and pressures and problems, they can be mount up and overwhelm us. And sometimes we feel like we're buried in all of this stuff. And so why do I have to dig a little bit? Why do I have to seek? It's because I've just allowed other things to crowd it out of my life. I've allowed worries and problems, stress, concerns, all those things. But I have to realign and say, no, hang on a minute. The kingdom of God is actually within me. Christ the King dwells within my heart. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the Christ the King came to dwell within me. And so to seek the kingdom of God is maybe we've got to push aside all of this rubbish and all the worries, stress, confusion, whatever it is, clear all that rubbish out the way and be focused on the King and say, Lord, I am focused on you, Lord. My thoughts are upon you. To know that there is that kingdom authority within us. And if we begin to understand that, that's what Jesus is really saying. Because if you understand that, you're not going to worry. You will not be worried about the things of life. If you understand, I have the authority of the King of Kings within my life. I have the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, but I have the kratos, the kingdom authority, the dominion within my life, then I'm not going to be worried about what might happen to me. a bad thing might happen to me. Oh, this may or may not happen. It's not even going to enter my mind when I realize the authority that I have in Christ. It doesn't mean I'm going to be oblivious, and it doesn't mean I'm going to be arrogant or uncaring or uncompassionate. I'm just not going to let those things overwhelm me or take over my life when I seek His kingdom. And so for us to seek the kingdom is to focus on the fact of what He's placed within our heart and within our life. So important that we understand who we are. And that's really what we're looking at this year in that series that we'll be starting in the nights in just a few weeks' time, which I want everyone to go along to. You'll begin to understand more and more what it is to live in that. But seeking first the kingdom, it's not just about coming to church. That's important. You need to do that. But it's to grow in the knowledge and understanding of who you are in Christ. And then not to be caught up with other things. Romans 4:17, it says this. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Okay, and so we've already read that. Jesus said, don't be concerned with all that stuff. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do all of this and be all caught up and worried about all of that stuff? It says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of those material things. It's not a matter about the substance of life. It's not about those things. But it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about knowing the kingdom of God that is within us and so powerful within us that we're not caught up worrying and we're not distracted. We're not chasing the big bucks. That's not our motivation. Try to get as much money as I can. The world, they try to do that because they don't know any better. But Jesus was saying to his disciples, guys, don't go down that road. Don't get caught up with that. Nothing wrong with money, but don't let it consume you or become the focus or the priority of your life and your own needs, your problems. Don't allow that to rule you. Seeking first the kingdom of God is for us to make it a priority to understand what that means within my life, that I have that power and that authority, royal dominion, kingdom authority in my own life. So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be stressing out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it's not just a matter of physical things. Jesus make it, don't worry about all this stuff. He says that he knows you need things. Hands up if you need to eat. Some of you need to eat right now. You're really hungry. Some of you just come off night shift, and I bless you guys for putting God first and saying, no, I've just come from night shift, but I'm going to go along to church, and I honor those that are here this morning that have done exactly that as well. We all need to eat. We all need to have a drink. In fact, I might have one now. I'm sorry, you can't have one. But we're all wearing clothes, I hope. If you're not, please go home and come back when you're properly attired. He says, God knows you need all that stuff. The stuff of life, we need all that stuff. You need a job. You need a house. Having a car is pretty helpful just for transport, just to get around. Don't have to have a Porsche or something. It'd be nice, but you don't have to have something like that. It's not about all of that stuff. The kingdom of God is spiritual stuff. And again, it's not just the material or physical things of the kingdom. As I said, learn that distinction that I go to church. Well, it's not that. It's far more than that. That's a part of the life of the kingdom. But it's knowing who you are with inside your own heart. And that'll certainly manifest. Yeah, of course you'll go to church. And of course you'll pray. And of course you'll do all of those other things. And you'll serve faithfully because that's just flow out of you. It's a part of being in the kingdom of God. But it's to understand that, seeking first the kingdom, that right or authority that we have in Jesus Christ, and not to allow that to be crowded by the everyday problems. And why most of us don't rise to this is because, yeah, we think we've ticked them all, but we love Jesus, we're giving our heart to Him, but then the stuff of life becomes the thing that governs and controls us and takes over, makes it extremely difficult. So if we begin to focus on that who I am, I have the King within me, I have His authority. And again, it's not something we're going to just pick up for 1 week. We're going to keep putting that in there and then you'll hear a lot more about it, certainly when we do that course together in a few weeks' time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So to know who you are in Christ, to know the authority that you have. And so you're not going to worry about what may or may not happen. You're not going to be focused on the words or decrees of men or what happens in the economy or what happens. No, no. I have a confidence because I'm not only in the kingdom, but I have the King within my life. But it also says, and His righteousness. And it's interesting that it says, and his righteousness. So I put my affection, my desire, my attention, my effort into the kingdom of God and understanding who I am in Christ, and I diligently want to grow in that. But it says, and his righteousness as well. And so that's really important, because it can be a very dangerous thing if we begin to understand I have an authority, because there is an authority in Christ. There's an authority in his name. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. No choice, no ifs or buts. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's an authority that we have. And if we begin to understand more of who we are, if God is for us, who can be against us? We begin to stand in knowing that we have a power and authority in the name of the risen Christ. But we lack character, we lack integrity, then that's a very, very dangerous combination. And because people can, you can live in that, you can know that power and authority within your life when you begin to understand what that means. But we've already seen, we see the fallout in the body of Christ, and people do a lot of hurt and a lot of damage when the and his righteousness isn't there. And his righteousness, seeking his righteousness is not your endeavor to become righteous. Christ has made you righteous. There's no righteousness beyond what Christ has given us. So if Christ has given it to me, then why do I have to seek something that he freely gave me upon the cross? Well, again, the sense in here is that we're beginning to actually outwork what he has done. Walking in character, walking in integrity, that I guard my mouth, that I don't swear, that I'm not abusive, that I'm not lying, I'm not deceitful, I watch what comes out of my mouth. I'm very careful with what you look at, all the things that you do, what you put your hand to. All of those things require diligence. The righteousness that you have with God, which ensures your salvation, that we're going to be within eternity, was all done on the cross. But how I live my life is something that I have to apply my attention to. I have to watch my mouth. I have to watch my eyes. I have to watch my hands. I have to be diligent about how I live this life and his righteousness. I have to put some attention to it. Because people maybe can do that. Well, some people just think, I gave my heart to Christ, tick, and his righteousness, Christ may be righteous, tick. Yeah, well, you don't try to make yourself acceptable to God. It's because you are worthy. Christ has made you worthy. He says, now go ahead, live like that. Make the decision to do that and his righteousness. And it's an important part of the kingdom. It won't come up on the screen, but Isaiah 9:7 will come up. And this is about the very nature of the kingdom. Because the kingdom, the authority and righteousness actually go together. They actually do go together. We're righteous because of Jesus Christ, but we live a godly life because he loves us and we want to honor him. It says, he will reign. This is speaking prophetically about Jesus Christ. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So you cannot separate the kingdom of God from righteousness, from integrity. The word actually means integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling and acting. Correctness of thinking, feeling and acting. And to live a life like that. Not just what we do. See, some people think, well, I haven't killed anybody, so I'm okay. But Jesus said, not about just killing them. You hate someone? That's like murder. That's murderous. If you hate someone, how can you be hateful to someone? Because that's just like murder to Jesus. Some people said, I haven't killed anybody, and I'm righteous. Well, did you feel like that? As you got that thought, so bitterness? Oh, I'd like to just kill that person. And then you violated that. You're feeling, thinking ways of getting even, getting back, hurting someone, not forgiving them, not releasing them. All of those things. We've got to apply ourselves to that. Our salvation's guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but how I live my life every day is my choice. It's my diligence. It's how I apply my life and how I walk, the decisions, the choices we make every single day of our life. And righteousness and this kingdom authority, it goes really hand in hand. You'll never walk in kingdom authority if you don't choose to walk in righteousness. Now, but as I said before, and there is a but, there is a power in the name of Jesus Christ and there is an authority. And that can also be abused. If you have a look at Matthew 7, it says this. Again, I don't like this at all, this passage, but it's there. Matthew 7, 22, 23, it says, many will say to me on that day. That day is when the day the Lord comes back. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? It's moving in the power of the Spirit of God. Did we not drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? Because there's an authority in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a power in the name of Jesus Christ. And the devil has to bend his knee and he has to flee against the power of Jesus Christ. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you away from me, you evildoers. Think, what? Hang on. Evildoers. These are the ones that are doing miracles and driving out demons and prophesying and God calling them evildoers. It's because there's some people who grab a hold of some of the authority of the kingdom of God. They begin to realize that there's an implicit and inherent authority and a power in the things of God's kingdom. And some people will go into that. In fact, they will seek after that, wanting to work in power and authority and miracles and all this stuff, but not the and his righteousness part. So they're not really interested in that stuff. It's not so important how I live my life. It's not so important what I think or what I do because, wow, we're moving here in the power of God. And that goes against the nature of the kingdom of God. That's why he says, I never knew you. You're not a part of the kingdom. If you understand a principle of the authority of the kingdom, but you don't have a relationship with the king, and you don't choose to live a righteous life, and you allow infidelity and immorality into your life, if you're not married and you're having sexual relationships and you're doing all that sort of stuff and living that life. Remember I said about Scripture says those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We talked about that. Talked about people that just willfully abandon and they want all this stuff, but not and his righteousness in their life. And so two things really important that Jesus is trying to get through. He's framed it with don't worry. Don't worry, guys. I'll tell you what, if you understand authority, but you know your life's a mess, you're going to be worried because you're going to be torn by this, what's within me and what should be, and be torn, condemnation, guilt, and shame, or else you'll be living a holy and righteous life and doing everything's right. Lord, I'm keeping my thoughts pure. I'm seeking you, Lord. I'm loving you. And as far as I can see, I'm doing everything right, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. Doesn't seem to be connecting. Just doesn't seem to be working. And all these things, it just doesn't seem, because if you only got that side of it and you don't understand the principles of the authority and the power of the kingdom of God, then the problem is all these things cannot be added unto you. And Jesus is saying, this is talking very clearly to them, saying, guys, yet the things of the kingdom have got to be the priority in your life. Understand what it is to be in my kingdom. Understand what it is that you're not just a subject in my kingdom, but you are an heir and an inheritor. We'll talk about that another time in Christ, the authority and the power that's upon your life. Don't neglect that. Don't allow problems and worries and the things of this world to crowd out understanding who you really are. But also, we have a righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is our salvation. But how I live my life every day and the way that I do that, the choices, the decisions, the things that I do. And if I walk in a godly way, not to earn his love, because he already loved me as much as he never loved me. He's already given me everything that I need, not to get any more, but just because I love him and I want to do what is right, I just want to honor him and love him with all my heart and live my life in such a way that pleases him. And if I've got that, and I grab something over here about who I am, and I'm not distracted by this world. It doesn't take over my priorities. It's not the thing that drives me or motivates me. And I'm not worried about the pressures and the stresses of life, which will affect every single person. None of us are immune from those things because we all are alive. We all face things. But that doesn't, the thing is, it doesn't consume me. It doesn't turn me in knots. It doesn't agitate me. It doesn't distress me, weigh me down, bring me down to such a point where I'm no longer even able to function. But worse than that, I'm not even able to acknowledge that he's the king and what he has done and who he is within my life. And so we've got the two things, because we all want over here where he says, and all these things will be added unto you. We all want that. Hands up if you want all these things to be added to you. Lord, I just pray for all those with paralyzed hands this day. Lord, just heal them. Man, if you don't want all these things to be added to you, Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're the couple of night shift people. I don't know. We all want that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. It starts off with putting him first in our life. Lord, I'm going to put you first in my heart, Lord, in my affection, Lord, in my attention, in my devotion. Lord, the thing that consumes me, that motivates me, is going to be you first in every part of my life. First thing. But then I'm going to seek his kingdom, to know that kingdom authority within me, who I am in Christ, what he's done for me. What does it mean to be a part of this kingdom? What does it mean to be under the king? But more than that, what does it mean to have the king within me? What it is to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God, to be an inheritor of the kingdom of God. What do all of those things mean within my life? And so we want to grow and learn all this stuff over here. And this stuff here, I presume, I would hope that this is the stuff that is already flowing out of our lives. It's probably the easiest one for us to work on, because this side over here requires a bit of a revelation, and it certainly requires us to focus that we're not caught up with the things of this world. But here, just a matter of saying, Lord, no, I love you. And Lord, I've let stuff into my life. Lord, I'm just going to let that go now. I'm just going to let that fall away. Lord, all that, whatever it is. And I got one. I got, get that tick. Tick this one. And all these things will be added to you. So don't worry. You won't have to worry. You don't have to worry about what may happen to you, what the doctor said, what the bank manager said, what the economists have said, what friends have said, what this person said. Well, it's not going to take over or consume your life. And so we begin to understand that righteousness, yeah, it certainly goes with that reigning in Christ. Because God wants all these things to be added to all of us, and all these things to be added unto you. So not worry. He says it so many times in this passage. Do not worry about your life. Who by worrying can add a single hour? Do not worry about clothes. You little faith. So don't worry. Therefore, don't worry. Get the message in this passage. Don't worry, don't worry. But I'm going to be worried if I know that my life's off the rails. And I should. So, Lord, I just want to reorientate it. I know that I do things wrong in my life. And I know that I'm not perfect. But, Lord, my heart is that I want to do what's right and pleasing to you. And if we let our heart become calloused or hardened, or we begin to become lazy or indifferent, yeah, that's when we've got a problem. We've got to deal with that. We're all going to fall. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But if you allow a hardness in your heart or an indifference in your heart, I would deal with that. That would certainly cause worry. But certainly we want to grow in this knowledge of the righteousness of Christ, but the authority and the power that we have in Jesus Christ. And all these things will be added to you. And I just want to close with this. Read Matthew 6, 31, 34, just from the Message translation. It says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, that word, yes. And he will give you everything that you need in life. And so I want to pray for us this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never actually put Christ first. You never said, actually, I want Jesus within my life. You've never come and said, someone pray with me. Or you've never got on your knees before the Lord and said, Lord, I want to make Jesus first in my life. I want the cross to account for me. That I don't have to face God on my own sense of trying to be good, but on the goodness of Christ, on his holiness which he gave me when he wiped away all my sin on the cross. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'd love to pray with you. And maybe there's some of us that maybe you're in the situation where you feel, gee whiz, I've got to watch my mouth, watch my eyes, got to watch my thoughts, got to watch my attitude. Man, yeah, I've allowed some things just to, it'll rot just to sit in my life, and maybe so, Lord, I want to deal with that. And certainly I'd hope that all of us are here saying, Lord, I want to have more of this revelation, that I'm not going to be distracted by the things of this world. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by the worries of this world, Lord, but I'm going to begin to understand what it is to have that kingdom authority, the authority to rule a kingdom within my life. That God is for me, who can be against me? To stand and live my life with that in my heart. So let's stand. I want to pray with us this morning. I pray for all of us. You need prayer this morning. You want to give your life to Christ. If you're struggling, you've allowed your heart to become calloused or indifferent in some area, deal with that today. And you need some other areas of prayer, we'll touch you. But my prayer is for all of us that we will learn to stand in this kingdom authority. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're an awesome God who loves us so much. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took the time to sit with your disciples. And Lord, that Lord, you told them the things of the kingdom of God, Lord. You weren't hiding things from them. You said that to others you'd speak in parables, but to them, Lord, to them you'd actually give the mysteries of this, or the secrets of the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Father, that we are those, Lord, that the kingdom of God, Lord, the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of God are not hidden from us. Lord, that you make them plain for us, Lord, that we can see and understand, Lord, what it is to be in your kingdom, Lord, to stand in your kingdom. And Father, to serve and be productive, to do all those things, Lord, but Lord, to know who we are in that kingdom, to know who we are in Christ. And so Father, I just pray now, Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, that you give them the courage right now, Lord, as when we close this service and to give the opportunity for prayer to invite people, Lord, you give them the courage right now, Lord, that they can get up out of their seat and come and say, yeah, I need Jesus in my life. I need to put his kingdom first in my life. Father, give them the courage to do that. Father, for anyone, Lord, that maybe they think I haven't really put God first and, Lord, they've allowed other things to become so much more important. Father, I pray, Lord, give them the courage to also come and say, Lord, I want to put it right. Or maybe we've been caught up in other areas and other things, Lord, or just so worried and overwhelmed, Father. I pray, Lord, that you just touch lives today, Lord, that you'll set people free. And Father, I pray, Lord, for every person here today, Lord, that more and more there'll be that growing revelation of what it is about this kingdom reign, and more of a revelation of what it is, Lord, what we have in you, what we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we know the realities of life. We know the realities of tomorrow. We know the realities of even when we go home. But, Lord, there's a greater reality. And, Lord, that's what we want to focus on, Lord, your kingdom. Lord, what it is to seek your kingdom, to earnestly desire to be actively thinking about, Lord, to be about your work and about your kingdom, Father. Lord, stir our hearts, I pray. So, Father, bless your people this day. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of your kingdom because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God.